four-plus years ago when I took the job, I got to know a gentleman named Aaron Putzi. And Aaron is the author of the book. And Aaron happens to work for the Iowa Soybean Association. Obviously, there's some challenges going on with that right now. But he was also raised on a farm in West Bend, Iowa. And the Iowa Soybean Association and the Iowa Food and Family Project, which is his project that he invented, they are the presenting sponsor for our Live Healthy Iowa pillar. So I've gotten to know Aaron as a sponsor, and as I've gotten to know all of our sponsors, Kirk included. And we were sitting at a restaurant in Ankeny when I first got to know him, and I was telling him all these football stories, and he kind of stops me halfway. He goes, "Hey, have you ever thought about writing a book? I'd be happy to do it for you. That's my passion. And you know, I like that idea from the farm, and I wanted the farm element in the book." I said, "Oh, Aaron, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 years from now." He kind of looks at me and goes, "No one's going to remember you in 50 or 20 years. You better do it now." So I thought about it for a couple of weeks. I called him back up, and I said, "Hey, Aaron, let's do this book. Let's get it done." And lo and behold, we started to launch this project, and he wrote the book. I just provided information. He interviewed over 30 people for the book, including Hayden Fry. I'll give you a Hayden Fry update in a minute. But it took about 2.5 years and about 1,000 hours. He has 3 young kids, so he would do his day job, family life, through dinner and through the night, and he'd be up till midnight or 1 o'clock writing this book every night for 2.5 years. I went up to my mom's attic in Wheaton, Illinois, and there was bin after bin of newspaper clippings. All right, the Big Peach, you guys remember the Big Peach? So I get newspaper clippings all over the state. My mom was so happy to get rid of those clippings. Get them out of my attic. So I dumped them off at his house, and he took him 2.5 years of great research in this book. It's really a unique book because it's not all about me or Hayden Fry. He really inserts a lot of current events that were happening at the time nationally. And you're like reading these little footnotes, these little sidebar stories, and, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know that was happening." Because when you're in college, you're in a cocoon, you don't know what's going on and most of the time. But you put a lot of uniqueness in the book. I also wanted the farm element in the book. As you recall, in the 80s, farming was tough. It was going through a hard time. People were losing their farms. And Hayden Fry knew that more than anybody. He was always in tune what was going on in the farm community, because he himself was born and raised on a farm in Texas. And he would always tell us every year, "Man, if you want to get in good with the Iowa people, you need to get in good with the farmers first. If they love you, everybody else will love you." And he believed that. And so he had the A&F sticker he put that on in 1985 when farming was going through a hard time. But Aaron, being raised on the farm here in Iowa, that was really an element I wanted in the book. And he really weaves it through in a great way. So we got to know each other. He started writing this book 2.5 years later. It came out last November, so we've been a little bit over a year. We've gone through about 100 sightings. We've been everywhere in Iowa except for Keokuk and Orange City. So we got to get up to Orange City and Keokuk at some point in time. And I'm happy to be here in Atlantic. My career, I'll talk about the book a little bit. It's about my career, but it's really about the resurgence of Iowa football under Hayden Fry and how he did it. And as time goes on, you're like, how did he do that? Because he took over a job that was at the bottom of the barrel. In fact, he was the third choice by Bump Elliott, because the first two turned Bump Elliott down. Not a lot of people know that. So Hayden was the third choice, and he took this job much to the chagrin of his staff. They tried to talk him out of it from North Texas and say, "You don't want that job. It's at the bottom of the barrel. You can't win. It's all about Ohio State, Michigan, everybody else, no good." Well, he convinced them, comes to Iowa, and 7 years later, after he took the job, he got us to the number one in the nation in 1985. But that was such a grind to get to that point. I was very blessed to be part of a staff that now has 5 Hall of Fame coaches off of one staff. Number one tree in college football going right now. Next in line is Bear Bryant of Alabama and Bobby Bowden of Florida State. And second in line tied behind Hayden Fry. Now think about that for a minute, that's big. Now, Urban Meyer or Nick Saban tree may pass that up in time, but currently it's Hayden Fry's tree, it's number one. On one staff, He had Bill Snyder, who was my coach. I was very blessed to have two amazing coaches coach me. Hayden Fine, Bill Snyder. Bill just retired from Kansas State. College Football Hall of Fame coach. He had Barry Alvarez, College Football Hall of Fame coach, Wisconsin. He had Kirk Ferentz, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Dan McCarty's in the Iowa State Hall of Fame. Had a shot at the College Football Hall of Fame. Bob Stoops was a GA in 1983. He's all-time winningest coach in Oklahoma football history. Five guys off of one staff. Not to mention Carl Jackson, who won a Super Bowl ring with San Francisco 49ers with Steve Young. So it was an amazing staff. And I always believe great leaders like Hayden, if you look at true leadership, they always hire as good as or better than they are. And that's what Hayden did with his staff. I was just a little bit about my career. It's kind of some funny things, but the first chapter of the book takes you right to the 1985 number one versus number two game against Michigan. Who was there? Who remembers it? Who watched it? We're one, they're two. We just became number one a few weeks earlier against Michigan State. And let me set this story up. Aaron Putsey, the author, takes you right there. If you were there, it'll take you right back. If you weren't there, it'll take you right there. The mist in the air, remember the rain in the air, the Musco lighting coming in. We had Brent Musburger in town in his heyday. Game of the week. The whole week long had LA Times, the New York Times newspaper, people all over campus covering this big, huge game, number one versus number two. Michigan had the late, great Bo Schembechler as head coach and a guy named Jim Harbaugh, quarterback. And they came to town, and you could cut the tension with a knife all week long. It was so tense. I was just in the zone walking to class. I don't even remember walking from class to class that week. And we finally get to this game day. And guys, I played in the NFL. I coached for 18 years after that. I coached at Oklahoma on a national championship team. That crowd, the elation and emotion of that crowd at the end of the game when Rob Houghton kicked that ball was never duplicated again in my lifetime, not one time. I'll never forget that. It gives me goosebumps just talking about it. But I'll never forget that week unfolding, and we get to game day. It seemed like all you that were there came early. It was like a packed house early already. Didn't want to miss anything. And we were wondering, I mean, we were a really tight football club, and we were wondering what Hayden Fry was going to do to loosen us up, because he was the master of keeping everybody loose, and he always liked to get into the opposing coach's head all the time, and he loved getting into Bo Schembechler's head. So we were wondering what Coach Fry was going to do. So this is what he did. Pre-game warm-up, Bo Schembechler had his Michigan sweater on, had his Michigan hat, had his glasses on, he's chewing his gum. Like he always did, he's watching his team warm up. Hayden sends over a fake long snapper and our starting punter right in front of him. And his fake long snapper was snapping the ball into the ground, over the guy's head, into the ground. And Schembechler is watching this going, Coach Fry, come on over here. Yeah, coach, he goes, you're not going to have this long snapper snap to your punter today, are you? We don't plan on punting today, coach. Coach Fry! I can't believe you did that! Now, legend story has it that Schembechler went up to the pink locker room after that to give his team one more motivational talk. And if it wasn't nailed down, he threw everything against the wall he could. He was so mad. So anyway, he trashed the whole place and he was so mad at Hayden Fry. He knew he had Michigan at that point in time. But as the game unfolded, it was a tight game, as you all know. It was 10-9. We went on the last 2-minute drive down to the 26-yard line and our legendary kicker, Rob Houghton, arguably probably the greatest kick in Hawkeye football history. And Rob Houghton was a great story himself. Came out as a freshman, got cut. Hayden said, come back next year. Didn't think he was going to come back. Came back the next year, made the team, earned a scholarship. Now he's lined up for the biggest kick in history. You just never know, right? Never know in life. Well, Rob, I'll never forget calling that last time out 2 seconds ago. And Rob was so confident. He came off the sideline and he told us all on the side, he goes, guys, I got this. Don't worry about it. And he went out there and kicked the greatest kick in Hawkeye history. I can see it today. The crowd noise behind it. You guys jumping up out of there. It felt like you guys were in the stands all weekend long after that. I think we all went downtown together, too. I don't know. But that's chapter one. So it takes you right there, and then it goes back in my career. I was actually Not a lot of people know this, but I was born in Norman, Oklahoma. I grew up in a Boomer Sooner family. I grew up on fried catfish, fried okra, cornbread, black-eyed peas. So I'm from Southern cooking. My mom's Southern cooking. But my parents both went to Oklahoma, and I'm from that. So I don't know if there's any Boomer Sooners in here at all. Anybody? Probably not. Well, I was raised in Wheaton, Illinois. We went up there when I was three. Anybody know where Wheaton is? Western suburb of Chicago. Great, it was a great football town, about 30 miles west of Chicago. Excellent football town, the home of Red Grange, the legendary galloping ghost, who, if you Google him, he's really in the 1920s the responsible for putting the National Football League as we know it on the map. It was eight original owners that were going broke, trying to get the NFL off the ground, and it was operating in the red. They had no money. They needed a superstar to put it on the mat. That superstar was Red Grange. So I'm proud to say I'm from his hometown. But good football town. I was a junior quarterback. This is for youngsters, you know, in the city. I was a junior quarterback, and I'll share one recruiting story, my recruiting story. But I was a junior quarterback. We won the state title in 1979. We won the game. I set an Illinois state record that day. Will never be broken. It never has been broken. I threw for -3 yards. -3. We threw the ball 4 to 5 times a game. We rushed the ball for 300 yards a game. We played great defense. That was our system, and we won a lot of games doing that. Well, because of that, I wasn't recruited very heavily. I'll give you what happened. I finished up my senior year in football in high school, and I was going into basketball season. And one night, in the middle of December, I got the phone call that changed my life forever. And I got this phone call, I'll never forget, I came home from basketball practice, and I get a phone call from Bill Snyder, the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Iowa. And he's very monotone. I know you probably spoke with Bill Kirby, but he's very monotone. Hello, Chuck, this is Coach Bill Snyder of the University of Iowa football, and we'd like to bring you in on an official visit this weekend. Tom, is this you? I thought, my buddy Tom. It's not Tom, this is Coach Bill Snyder, the University of Iowa football. That's how I did it. We'd like to bring you in this weekend. So I get off the phone, like, man, I'm first in our family. We've never been through this. I didn't know where I was going to school. I didn't even think about college at this point. And he goes, who is that? I said, well, it's this coach from Iowa. They want to bring me in for an official visit. They want to fly me in this weekend. Are they going to pay for it, son? I said, I think so, Dad. Anyway, I get dropped off at O'Hare. My dad drops me off at O'Hare. We fly to Cedar Rapids. I get picked up by the great John Streif, longtime trainer there. I'll never forget. We go to the IRP, Iowa River Power. Who's been there? I saw the biggest prime rib I've ever seen in my life. I wanted to be a Hawkeye in the spot. But I met that wonderful staff on Friday night at the IRP. Well, recruiting weekends go like this. You have dinner Friday night, you do a lot of eating, and you go through go through Saturday, and you look at the academics, you look at the school, you meet all the coaches, you go to a basketball game, et cetera, basketball game in the old field house. You guys remember that? So Sunday rolls around, and that's the day of reckoning. That's when you either get offered a scholarship by Coach Fry, or you don't, or he sends you home. And I'll be honest with you, I'm wondering why I'm there the whole time anyway. I'm like, we throw the ball 4 times a game. I threw for -3 in a state championship game. What am I doing here? You know, I'm wondering, okay. So I get there Sunday, and I get in his office, and he sits me down. I'll never forget it. Charlie, he called me Charlie, says, Charlie, we're going to turn this thing around. And we're going to turn around this year. Now, he's coming off 2 losing years, 20 in a row. And he's going into 1981, the magical Rose Bowl year. You guys remember that magical turnaround year? And he goes, Charlie, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to do it this year, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to offer you a full ride scholarship. I said, okay. I said, what does that include? He goes, well, it includes room, board, books, and tuition, the whole thing. You don't have to spend any money out of your pocket except for a little allowance money from your parents. And that's about it. I said, okay. And I was excited. Shook his hand. I go, Coach, I'm so excited about this. But I'm still bewildered. I'm like, okay, what was he looking at? But I'm okay with this. This is going to be great. And I knew I wanted to be a Hawkeye. I knew right then and there I wanted to be a Hawkeye. I went home. I flew home. I know you guys don't like this. I flew home. My dad picks me up. My dad was a wonderful guy, just a wonderful guy. Great sense of humor, great person. Picks me up and goes, son, how'd it go? I said, Dad, I think they've offered me a scholarship. He goes, what does that include? I told him, room, board, books, tuition. Have they seen you play some? I go, man, I know it's confusing. And Billy Hayes, he goes, I want to get Coach Fry on the phone tonight. We're going to confirm this and get this all straight out. So we got Coach Fry on the phone, and sure enough, he offered me a scholarship. But that was a phone call, Bill Snyder's phone call. It changed my life forever. I obviously accepted the scholarship and never looked back. I love the state of Iowa. I went on an adventure. Football took me on an adventure after college to Detroit, to L.A., and then coaching took me back to Iowa, then Oklahoma, then San Diego, and then Kansas. And then I was at a crossroads wondering if I was going to stay in coaching when the Big Ten Network called up and wanted me to do some commentating and some analysis, and I took that job. I found out they only wanted me for football. Okay, that makes sense. It's only 4 months. So my wife says, well, what are you going to do the other 8 months? She's not hanging around here. So I said, okay. So I took a job. Actually, I took a job with Holmes Murphy for a year and then as a door opener. And now I'm running the Iowa Sports Foundation, which I really love doing. It's been a lot of fun getting to know sponsors and just collaborating with them. Again, I mentioned all the athletic directors and both high school associations. And it's just been a lot of fun doing this for me. So I never thought in my wildest dreams while I was in coaching I'd get back to Iowa, because coaching, you just never know where you're going to be. But I got out of it at the right time, at the ripe age of 50, and I'm back here for good. And I love being back here. I consider myself an Iowan now. I've enjoyed the state. You guys are a great fan base. You root for each other, except for one game, is the best way to put it.